Blog Talk Radio.
Lift the screen, please. Praise the living God from whom all blessings flow. Tonight's that night that we come once again to say thanks for the living God for the many blessings he has bestowed upon us. And tonight's the night that we just say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So we go to the scripture and we say in the book of John chapter 1, it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. But in conclusion it says, and verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh. And I always say flesh became as an eye, as a nose, as an ear, as three parts for the body. It is awesome by what God is doing, what he did. So tonight I have some people coming on, but I'm just waiting because I'm thanking God for the many blessings God has done for us. Now, you know, we had a discussion some time ago about these Jezebel spirits and they have spirits. But if you take notice and go to the book of Revelation, I'm not going to do your research. Go to the book of Revelation. You're going to find out that that spirit is made mention. God says, I have something against you because you have allowed that spirit of Jezebel to be in your midst. He was talking to the churches. We're living in a time where we just got to love them. And you know one thing I say, I believe we picked up my brother that's been away for a while, Brother Abraham Johnson. He's going to be back on with us if he decides to. But I want to thank God for everybody that's coming on to be with us, and we'll just soon know, we'll just keep praising God, and we'll keep believing God, and we'll keep knowing God, because I just want to tell you something. I'm reading a book that I have once again. I've been studying Healing by Smith Wigglesworth on healing, and some of the things that I have found, all I can say is, my God, my God, I know that... Excuse me. I know that when we take and look into the Word, what God is saying through him, I mean, you are the Christ. So the question they raised in the New Testament concerning him, one thing I would take notice of, they asked him a question, are you the Christ? They asked that to who? They asked it to John the Baptist. He said, no, I'm not the Christ. I am not. So what we have to do, we have to believe that we believe because we believe because we believe. And one thing I would say tonight to all of us who believe, all things are possible to those who can believe. Because the question was raised, and they just want to know, is it possible? Are you the Christ? We've heard about it. For 400 years, the world we live in, nobody not even heard a word from God. And all of a sudden, there came a word from the living God. And what God has done for us, God has brought us to a fullness of what he wants us to do. So tonight, as I say, I know. And I want to just give you something I have also. I have Ferris Stone book on the code of the Holy Ghost. But also, all this make us know that the more we search for the Word of God, the more God has done it for us. Thank you. Now, one thing I will say, I have a little book that I've been working on. It says, Faith Transcends Experience. Faith transcends experience. Amen. When we take our time, rather than to Egypt, take notice of something. They waited for Moses. There are a lot of people that want to walk by experience, but faith transcends experience. I see a lot of people out of experience, but they're not walking by faith. A lot of faith factors are upon us and believing in us and through us and by us. And so what I say to other thing is, our wives and little ones will become slaves. And do you know in America today, all around the world, the same thing is happening? I have discovered by many who have been talking to me that this group called ISS, they got more mosques. They got more mosques in America than we have churches. Now, I don't believe that to be true. That's a lie. But that's what the report said. And so they're saying they've come to take over. Don't get all fearful. Praise the living God. And so we just thank God for everything he's doing. But one thing I want to say to you, listen to me, beloved. I'm going to go to mute for just a few minutes. Give me a break. And thank you. I have to move, do something. But anyway, when we look at faith, how faith transcends, it moves into a direction that we can understand and see what God is doing for us. Now, my beloved, I will say this to you. See, when we take notice, and I ask a man, I told a young lady today who was my Rolls Royce driver, I told her, I said, young lady, you need to have a husband. She said, nobody wants a wife. I said, wow, I never heard a statement like that not too long. I said, what's wrong with these men today? Men want to be like Baja, 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 Baja. But they don't want to take responsibility. They don't want to do what they're supposed to do. They want to sit at home and make you think it's all right. Look, man, you need that woman. That woman needs you. Well, and I said, well, this is a good conversation, so let me go and ask her some more questions. I said, what you going to do with a man? She said, I want a man to take care of me, to love me, that I can respect him and honor him. He's my name. She put this term. He's my main squeeze. I said, woo, I love this. And so I just kept saying, faith in America. We're having some issues that we're afraid to tackle. See, there are a lot of people. I'm just going to be open. See, it's like saying presidential scholars. Everybody wants one. But are you willing to do what needs to be done to get one? Are you willing to give some sacrifice? See, but also, when we ask the question, everybody qualifies for the kingdom of God. You have to apply. You have to take God at his word. Do God for his word. Do God what is said in his word. But some people have come to a point, I'm going to do it my way. If it can't be done my way, it ain't going to be done no other way. This is CZY, man. This is crazy. Because God has made it possible. And you know, when I find a falling off, the Apostle Paul writes it so candid. When there's a falling away, you're seeing falsification coming to the church. And you know what I found out today? Somebody told me that he would know me, but they were telling me something. Somebody said the 501c3, you know, if you're gonna go out and be a teacher for my church, you got to let me write a recommendation. You got to write me something, tell me why. I said, wait a minute. They said, that's a new 501c3. I said, well, I haven't heard about it, but I'll call and find out about it. That 501c3 is something that some people from the other side of the river, that's the Trapapapuya, that's those men who want to be women, that's those women who wants to be men. They have that set up. And they have it so that you got to, please listen, you don't have to comply because you are a 501c3. Now, I don't think the government, when it made those changes from the federal and didn't make notice to everybody, I think something wrong. That's these ministers out there who trying to ragtag everything. Maybe they have some artists in the city of Houston. No, I'm not marrying a homosexual. I'm marrying a lot. I'm just not marrying them. They can come to my church, but I'm not going to marry them because I'm not going to violate the word of God. The word of God says, from this day forward, there shall be a man and a woman in unison. Just say a man be man, and a woman be woman. So much for that. But let's talk about faith. Faith moves us to that point of Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. The realness of him comes to a point in our life where we can see him and love him and know him and obey. And one thing I found out also, the more I live, the more knowledge I get, the more understanding I get, the more I can trust God, the more I can believe God. But let me tell you something. When you're walking by faith, it's going to be many times you're going to, that's going to be many times you're going to have to walk by yourself. And the more you walk by yourself, the more you're going to have to live by yourself. So I will say this to all of us who are listening. One thing we take notice of, the God we serve is an awesome God. I don't care how we look at it. God is so good. He had mercy on this man, Willie Hunter. God had mercy on me when I knew that I had sinned, I had lied, I had stole. But I'm going to say as the Apostle Paul said, I don't know that man. I once knew a man, but I know a man. And I don't know that man. That man is past and gone. So I have to try to tell this next generation to take notice of something. Let me show you something. Bear with me. Joshua said to Caleb. Joshua and Caleb. Now, those of us who say that we talk about the teaching from the Old Testament, the Old Testament is nothing but a teacher. It is a teacher. It teaches you to see what God is taking you through. But here it was. See, we wasn't there during the time of Joshua. Faith, they didn't have back that day in Joshua and Caleb. They believed in God. And the word is that they believed in God. See, Jesus come along and says, have faith in God. When you read the book of Hebrews, it says, have faith in God. The 11th chapter of Hebrews tells us, that's so, amen. It tells us, faith cometh by what? Faith cometh by what? Faith cometh by what? Faith cometh by what? Faith cometh, believing God, seeing God, acting on God, trusting God. And so when I take notice that it is exceedingly good land, that's what God told them. See, God was operating back then as he is today, but it's through Jesus Christ. And one thing, I don't like to get into a big fight with anybody in the body of Christ. I don't like to try to pinpoint or disprove someone. But I know when the fivefold ministry, I'm pausing to say this here. The fivefold ministry is a ministry of gifts. No pastor, no teacher, no evangelist, no prophet or prophetess, no apostle own that office. It is a gift that God has found a place for you to work into. The only difference we have, and when people say, well, what about the fivefold? Look, the fivefold is good because we always say, look on your thumb, look on your both fingers, and put the thumb. You have the fivefold ministry. We always say put the ring on that third finger. That's where the ring comes in because that's where the pastor sets in and do what needs to be done. And so when we come to a point of believing what God has to say to us, the more we take notice of God doing what he says he's going to do. Now, I want to share something else with you right quick while I got the time to tell it to you. It flows. Now, can you imagine? Here in that Old Testament, they told us it's going to flow with milk and honey. And Jesus said, heaven is going to be like. He told us it's going to be like. When you read the book of Revelation, you're going to see that street paved with gold. We can see that gold. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That go. But you see, the more we take God at his word, The more we can agree to God and His Word, the more we say, yes, Lord, God is so available for us. No matter what people say or think about it, God is available. But it's through Jesus Christ. Now, the Word says, no man has seen God at any time. Only the one that's been in His bosom, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus Christ came on the scene, He was exposed to those other disciples and the 12. You find the four gospels. The three gospels are synoptic because they agree. But that one difference was in John. John brought out the clarity because God so had it hard. So He wrote it for him to say, in the beginning was. And we go on down, we read the book of Bible, we read John. And one thing I love about the book of John, chapter 17, and it came and Jesus lifted up His eyes unto the Father. And if you notice in there, I'm talking about faith moving. If you take notice, everything that Jesus done, it was a faith move. Jesus had to walk by faith. The Bible tells us also He had to understand and endure suffering for obedience. Obedience. You know, there are a lot of people in the body of Christ that don't want to go through some suffering for Christ. We got churches that look like they're breaking up. Everybody want to be in charge. Well, you messing up. No. Let's pray together. When you want to ask people to have prayer, we ain't got time. We got to do this here. Can I call you back? The same thing did on the day that Jesus, and when it says, and the noise, behold, the bridegroom coming. And the sick said, hey, we ran out of oil. Can you supply some? And those who kept the faith said, not so. You should have been doing what we're doing. And so I'm telling you, as we get closer to Jesus Christ, the more we need to take notice of what He wants us to do. My beloved, look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The more we look unto Him, the more we see Him, the more we recognize Him. And so when we recognize what He can do. Now, I know that I made mention of the book that I've been studying also, The Healing by Smith Wigglesworth. Do you know the same power that Smith Wigglesworth had? God's going to give it to those of us who can believe. He will do it. But it's a cost factor. And that's why it's so hard with a lot of people. It's a cost being a good Christian. Well, I've had a question in my own house has been asked. Do we have to pray all the time? As often as you pray. Cease without praying, without ceasing. The more we stay in the connection with the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ by God, He has all, let me tell you something, beloved. God has the greatest army in the world. God has the greatest attitude in the world. He has a great understanding in the world. He said, I am God, and there is no other God beside me. I am God. He proves it through Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says in the book of Psalms, face to face, Jesus was the Holy Spirit, was back in there, God the Son. He said, I beheld Him, the God the Father, face to face. Can you imagine face to face, looking at each other, the Holy Spirit there, the triune triangle? Let me tell you something. And when I was reading the Word, God the Son says, I was there, hallelujah, Father. When He took the hills and dipped them and paved them out, made the mountains, I was there when He created Bema. I was there when He brought the water. I was there when He put the boundary. My God, the more we take notice of faith walks us in the fullness of God. And let me tell you something. There are a lot of young folks that love God. But you have to come to understand, you need to go read the book of Timothy. Timothy had to stay under tutorship so that he could understand what he was about to do. Because the job you taking over as a pastor and the gift, you're going to have the 5-4 ministers there with you. Because the prophet is going to hear from God, he's going to tell you, we're on the right track. God's going to speak, but it's up to us if we want to do it or not. It's up to us. It's up to us. And one thing I can say to all of us tonight on the radio station, if you will take God at his word, well, on the radio, call the radio station, please. If we can take and understand what God is saying, so let me tell you something. I know every Southern I will pause and tell everybody, if you can see what God is doing for us, I'm in love with him. I'm in love with him. I am not going to let anybody pursue, put me down, talk about me, but I always love you. I will always love you. As Abraham said today, all we can do is pray for them. Well, we got some roughnecks. We got some roughnecks that don't want to do nothing but do what they say gonna do. They don't care. They want to do what they say gonna do. May I submit to you, when you're in love with him, that is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. A lot of people don't want the Holy Spirit around them. Why they don't want the Holy Spirit? Because he is a revealer. He tells you the truth. I don't like you, honey. Okay, but that's okay. I still love you. I don't trust you. Okay, but that's all right. See, the more we come to the knowledge of God through walking by faith, we become a God conscience. The more we get God conscience in us, moving in us, through us, and by us, the more we can see what God is doing. See, I have a book here, a whole book about 160-some pages about the Holy Spirit. And I asked a person one day, I said, is the Holy Spirit represented as a dove? It was in the Bible. And in John, it was represented. It was represented as water, Russia. And so we have to come to understand what God is doing. But to those of us who are listening, in a few minutes, I'm going to open up the line so we can talk about it. I have a lot to say, but I want to have some people that are believing what I believe. Do you believe what I believe? Hallelujah. I'm on the lines of hallelujah. See, the lines open. One thing I will say to everybody, therefore the law is slack and judgment does not go forth, but the wicked do not compass about the righteous. I love it, Lord. Therefore wrong judgment proceeded, but the answer one of them and said, friend, I do you no wrong. My God, do I owe you a penny? Let me pay you. I don't want to owe nobody nothing. I'm not a beggar, borrower. I'm a believer. I'm a truster. I'm a son of God. Why am I a son of God? Because the more I believe that I am a son of God, nobody can put me to shame. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care. Now, I see the lines open, so I'm going to let everyone. Line one, you got a word to say, please? Amanda, are you on, please? Amanda? Hello?
Amanda?
No, you're on line one.
No. This is Grant Coleman. I'm on.
Hey, Grant, go ahead. Well, okay, you're on line. What's your line? Let's see. Now, hold on, Grant, is that you?
I'm here, but if I think you said Brenda, but there's another guy on the line. Another man, okay. I'm sorry, not guy. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I'll just tell you, this is Grant Coleman, a man of God. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good evening, everyone. I'm just calling in and just basically to listen and participate if God leads me. What are y'all talking about at this point? I'm sorry, I'm just tuning in.
Well, I was just going through the word about walking by faith, what we have to do the faith factor, because faith would open the door for God to move in our lives. Okay. Amen.
Yeah, and that's true. Can I ask you to consider something? I had a chance today to share a word at the Open Door Mission, and one of the things God led me to talk about was the outline for our lives, the plans for our lives. And it goes along with what you're saying, because if you know that God's got an ultimate plan for you and he's leading you in the direction that he desires you to go, then you can have faith that his plan is better than your works. His
Amen.
Desire and the things that he leads you to do and say are better than you coming up with your own opportunity to take care of or figure out a situation. So,
mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is in Psalms 139, you know, I've read it before, and I'm sure others have as they had an opportunity to study the Bible. And the interpretation I looked at this time was in the NIV, and it's particularly verses 13 to 16, which indicate, you know, that kind of like that, hey, I knew you. I knew when you were born. I knew you before you were born. And what particularly got my interest was verse 16. And the interpretation I read that said this, it said that the plans for my life were in his book before the first day of my life.
Amen.
Of course, that goes along with Jeremiah 29 and 11, which indicates that he knows the plans he had for us for good, plans not for evil, to get us to, you know, his desired end. It goes along with Jeremiah 1:5, wherein he told the prophet Jeremiah, I knew you when you're in your mother's womb. And Psalms 139 says a similar or same thing, that he already has plans for us that predated our birth. So that being the case, that being established, then he already knows the outline for our lives, how things will show up, when they occur. Being omnipotent, of course, he's got all the power. Being omniscient, he has all the knowledge, but he's also everywhere. So in any of the situations and perhaps circumstances where we find ourselves in, when we're involved in the circumstance, we're short of money, we're a kid rebellious, a marriage having some difficulty, you've got a physical illness. Any of those situations that we happen to find ourselves in, he already knows about it. So when you say he knows your prayer before you finish it, he knows what you're going to say before you do it, then of course, having the knowledge and so forth, he can be a very present help in a time of trouble, because he knew the trouble was coming. He knew it was coming.
Go ahead, Joe. Go ahead, 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Of the event. He's not surprised by it. Of course, in the circumstance, we're surprised. In the circumstance, we're hurting, we're painting, we're wondering, why is me? In the circumstance, it has our complete attention. But if you're able to step back just a moment, either a friend gives you a word or perhaps the Holy Spirit speaks to you, if you're walking around in the Spirit, you step back just a bit and you say, well, okay, God knew this was going to happen. It's already in his plan. He's allowed this. And what I'm speaking to is not to stop giving credit to Satan so often. He's kicking my butt. He's doing this to me. He's working overtime. It's a spiritual attack. The things that certainly have a level of truth. But Satan is not autonomous. He's not all-knowing. He's not everywhere at the same time. He's a created being. And certainly, if there's a potter, okay, he had to be clay at one point because he was created. So he may have the ability to do some things, but anything he does has to give God's clearance. God has to say, yeah, I'm going to allow that. And that, just having that knowledge and that bit of information, perhaps we could step back in any circumstance and say, okay, God, what are you up to? You allowed this. You may not have caused it, but you allowed it. So what is it? How do I address it? What is it that I'm supposed to get? And perhaps get some guidance as far as I will lead you by with my eye. Get some guidance by, in all your ways acknowledge me, and I'll make straight your path. Get some guidance by, don't lean to your own understanding. So why not consult the one who is omnipresent, all-powerful, all-overware, all-knowing, just using generic terms, to see what is this about? Now, if for any of you listening, you can weigh in on this, because I know, being seasoned saints, you've had a chance to peruse Jeremiah. You have some knowledge about Psalms 139. You also know perhaps about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You have some knowledge about all those scriptures and the promises that say that I can make your crooked places straight, because he's the one, he's got it all planned. He's got it there. We have the ability to make some decisions, but the truth be told, any decision that we make, he's already got an antidote for it. He's already got a ram in the bush for it. He's already also have, you know, any number of ways to still get us to our desired end. So I just want to put it out there for your listeners, and thank you, Dr. Hunter, for allowing me an opportunity. We give Satan too much credit. We make him out to be too powerful. Christ has already won that battle, because now that we're in him, if he's free, he said he came to set the captive free. So in our freedom, we no longer have to be bound or deceived by the things Satan says or does. Paul says, I would hope that you don't, you know about the wires of the devil. So by hanging out with the Spirit, reading the Word, we have some knowledge about sometimes how Satan does some of this stuff. And therefore, we can, with God's assistance, we can navigate around some of these potholes that we end up falling in. So what say ye to guests? What do you think about that?
Well, let's ask the guests. The line's open. Everybody take a turn. And the judge is asking a question. Go ahead.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Let me just piggyback on the judge. What you were talking about, what I perceived out of it is this. In Peter, it talks about being a chosen generation.
Amen.
And so if we understand who we are and whose we are, then we will act a different way. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are somebody in Christ Jesus. So what we used to do, we no longer have to do, because the Holy Spirit within us is going to make us act different. Because
Amen.
We know who we are. We are that royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. We are a holy nation. We're somebody, and our surroundings are somebody, we don't have to act the way that we do. We don't have to talk the way that we used to. And I heard Dr. Hunter talk about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit indwells with you, you will be changed. You will be changed from that old man to that new man. So the purpose that God has for you is for you to be a new creature in Christ Jesus, and allow his son to be the shepherd of your life, the Lord of your life. You have to live this life that you speak about. You can't just read the Word and not live the Word. If you have the Holy Spirit, you live the Word. Does it mean that you're perfect? Absolutely not. Does it mean that you might not fall? Absolutely not. But one thing I know is that if you fall, there's a ram in the bush. You can get up, because the Holy Spirit will let you know. And I like that part about Satan. We do give him too much power. We give him too much conversation. He is not all powerful. He is not in the same place at one time. He is not all the places at one time. He can only be in one time, and his little imps can whisper in your ear. But with the Holy Spirit, you don't have to listen to them whispering. You got power and strength to stand. You stand on the holy word of God. And like I say, you got to understand you are this royal priesthood. You got to understand who you are. You got to take this identity and identify with Christ Jesus. You can't just proclaim and not claim. You cannot just speak and not speak. You got to understand where you stand. And I tell the people oftentimes, clean off your little space. Claim that ground as holy ground. Claim that space as a place where Christ Jesus rules and reigns. And don't let anybody, don't let Satan in on your territory. You are a holy nation. So where you step and stand is holy ground. As Moses did when he met the Lord on the mountain, when he had to take off his shoes. Taking off his shoes is just a sign of humbling yourself. And this is what we have to do, humble ourselves to the mighty hand of God. Humble ourselves so that God can use us. Humble ourselves so that we can stand on the purpose that he has for us to do. And one thing we do not take a lot of is we don't rest and listen to the Lord. We want to be busy about talking. We want to say everything. God does know. He already knows our heart. He knows our mind. And that's what he investigates. Let me see how your heart is. Do you have a quite a stiff-necked heart? Or do you have a soft heart? Do you have compassion for my people? Or are you all about yourself? God wants you to know, again, I keep repeating it because I want people to understand, you are this new creature in Christ Jesus. So you got to understand, you are a royal priesthood. We know that in England, that a royal priesthood, he wears a fancy adornment, you know he's somebody. Uh-huh. You respect his uniform. You respect the queen. You know, we're all kings and queens in Christ Jesus. If we humble ourselves, if we puffed up, trust me, you're going to fall. That's when the enemy sets in, when you get too puffed up, that you don't realize that Christ has died for you as well as he did for somebody else. And so in times past, we were a people that didn't know that we had a royal priesthood. We are a people that walked in darkness, but now we can walk in the light. And we got to understand, just like the shepherd, Jesus said that I am the shepherd. So just like the shepherds watch over their sheep, God is watching over us. The Holy Spirit is watching over us so that we can understand that we might be a weak little animal, meaning people being weak. We might be weak, but we are strong in Christ Jesus. We are strong so that we can proclaim no weapon that's formed against us shall prosper. You know, every tongue, that means you can't even put your mouth on the saints of God. You got to understand that if you read the verse before it, it say, I created the weapon. I created the smith. I created the person that made the weapon. Am I not able to protect you? The good shepherd protects.
My God.
So with Christ anointed within you, you can do mighty things. Satan is temporary. His time is temporary. So he's working overtime. But like the gentleman said, don't give him no space. Stop puffing him up. He's nobody but an imp. He's already defeated. So, yes, it's just like when he left heaven, he took a third of heaven with him. How ridiculous is it that he can draw a third of heaven? It's a lot of people wanted to be somebody, but they're not. I'm sorry, a lot of angels wanted to be somebody, but they are not. So it is the same today in this world. Many people want to draw you into their mess. But God still sits on the throne. And thank God for the Holy Spirit, because I don't have to be in that mess. I just thank God
Amen.
For what I've heard.
Amen.
I just believe God from my heart. I just love him. And we need to love on him. God is love. And he wants love. You can't shake in faith. God knows if you're real or you're not real. He say, I am love. And if you love somebody, you show it. How do you show God that you love him? By walking and believing in his son. By believing on the principle that he did come. That he is a holy child, born holy, with both natures, human and spirit. And then that he died and he rose again. With all power, not some power, all power in his hand. And so
Amen.
All we need to do is exemplify the compassion that Jesus had for the people. It is his desire that none should be lost, which is why we're on this radio tonight. We are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And my question is this, as I end, do you want to know him?
All right.
Do you want to know him? Do you want to know him? That's
Amen.
My question. Do you want to know him? Do you want to know him? And then let me go on and say this here too. In Peter, it says that I beseech you. He says, dearly beloved, I beseech you. I beg you. Don't be as strangers because you are royal priesthood. Don't be as strangers and pilgrims. You're not wandering in the land anymore. You got a light. And that light shines through Jesus Christ. So walk with your light as you want to know him. Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Go ahead, James.
Oh, she said a mouthful. And the wonderful thing about with dwelling in the Holy Spirit, when you hear the Spirit speak to someone else, you know it is true.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you, Dr. Hunter, indicate about being sons of God. When you know who you are, you know that exactly. You are a royal priesthood, but it's because of your lifestyle, and you have Christ saying, I no longer calling you a servant, you're now a friend. I'm sharing mm-hmm. with you some of the secrets of the Father. I'm letting you in on some of the plans that he has. I'm giving you warning before the bad events happen to you. I'm there with you while you're in it so that you're bigger than the circumstance. You're a conqueror. Every step that you're taking, Joshua, that, you know, you're taking for me. Just don't go left, don't go right. Just stay with me. Meditate on my word. Nobody stands before you. So you have this abundance of promises that you get to walk out in God's authority and dominion over the circumstances that he allows you to participate in. So, because he's there telling you and orchestrating, he's an event planner. He's there telling you, hey, this is what's going to happen, but I got you. I mean, oftentimes, just the circumstance, you go, well, how does God talk to you? Well, at this point in the relationship that he's allowed me to have with you, he'll tell you, I got you, Grant Coleman. Now, when I'm with someone, a friend, and I'm having a circumstance, and someone tells me, I got you, that means, hey, I'm well with you. I'm your corner. I'm there for your support. So when the creator of the universe speaks to you in a way that's saying, I got you, Grant Coleman, it's supposed to instill confidence, right? It's supposed to instill a measure of faith. You're supposed to be able to walk out whatever the circumstance is that he is allowing in your life so that he can show up and deliver you. So if it happens to be, again, a troubled child, you take that to God, knowing that we're the stewards of the child, but the child is his. He created him. So therefore, he knows how to calm the spirit. He knows how to turn the rebellion. He knows how to do all that. He knows exactly what circumstances will allow that to occur. So we spend a lot of time unnecessarily, although it's understandable, concerned about every little thing. But in essence, every little thing has already a master planner behind it And if we consult him, then we get the confidence to know that we're in good hands. It's a comforting thing to know God is on the throne. Okay? It may not look like it, but given an opportunity for him to show up, show out, show his mightiness, show his creativity,
Amen.
We don't understand all the stuff that's going on. But if you look at 16:9 of Second Chronicles, he's looking for the heart that's turned towards him, that is loving him, that trusts him, so he can show up, show out, and you have the testimony to prove and show it, so that when you share it with someone, they can put a check in their box saying, I identify with that. I've experienced that. I know what that's about. And rather than a preacher speaking to them about the word of God, sharing it in a way saying they need to be saved, they've got an individual who's saying, I've walked where you have, and let me explain what God did in my life. And then after that, you have someone who's listening, all right, who has someone who can ask questions of you, and you get a chance to sit in a position led by the Holy Spirit to share testimony, but also bring about the salvation, yes, but also participate in the sanctification of another kid, another one of his saints. And that's a very good place to be. Bible says that if you're able to save one from a pit, you're doing a good thing. God's pleased with that. You got the whole heavenly host up there looking at you. Bring God glory in your present situation. I just wanted to say
that's all. The line's open.
But we have so many promises that we can hold on to as we renew our mind and gain the confidence in Christ Jesus that nothing happens to us without God's permission. Remember, if you remember, for those of you who spend some time in the Word, he didn't ask the Holy Father to take us out of the circumstance. He simply said, protect them from the evil one. That's what he said. Protect them from the evil one. When his disciples decided, well, we've seen everybody else's disciples, and they tell them this, tell us something. And he said, all right, our Father. And he gave them a circumstance where this is you can pray like this. And one of the things that he taught them to pray was, forgive us of our sins as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. So he taught them to pray exactly what he told his dad to do. Why? For all those who came to Christ after him. Protect them and keep them from the evil one. Because, you know, if Satan had his way, we'd all be dead. Right? We would be around here trying to utilize opportunities for we could say a word, present the gospel, explain it, or give insight to it, to try to offer encouragement or knowledge or motivation for someone who might have a question. He'd kill us all. But so it's by God's grace and mercy. And also, since he has a particular plan and we're not going before the plan, that we can have confidence in him, that he's here, he's got us, and that as a son, as a daughter, as you walk in it, you get to walk with him, and you also have the knowledge and the belief that, hey, I'm not rewarded for what I've done. He's just loving me in a way so that I can show others what love looks like. Because remember, that's what he said. Others will know that you're my disciples about how you love each other. So I'm grateful for anyone walking in the Spirit because they validate truth. And when you hear it, you can get excited about another believer having knowledge about the Father, knowledge about the Son, and then cooperating with the plans that he has for our good. That's why it says in Romans 8:28, by the way, everything works out for your good. That's why he can make a promise of it, because it's his divine plan. And when we submit our will, or perhaps a better term would be to resign our will, since we have the ability to make any decision. We can decide for ourselves what we do and when we do it, to the extent that we believe we're able to. So when you say, no, Lord, I don't want to do me, let me do you. I've grown accustomed to it. I like the fact that I tried my way and it ended in disaster. You know, you few divorces, you financial bankruptcy, and other things that God allows to happen to you. You know, some people you end up addicted to drugs. Other people you just, you know, you don't go as far as you can. You don't matriculate or go through school the way you should. Maybe end up in jail. But I tried my way, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So allow me to consider what you might offer in terms of salvation and the confidence in your son, redemption. I'm on my way to heaven, and by the way, I get to participate in your glorification process program here on earth, going to tell others about a man who can help anybody and you know, and out how that goes. In other words, participating in the Great Commission. So, Dr. Hunter, you've got an awesome show. You gave me an opportunity to say a few words, and I heard wisdom from your other guests, and that's just a blessing to the body of Christ. And for those who listen to this show, because you hear truth. You hear truth, hear the word, and the fact that anyone is able to ask a question or call in and say, I'd like more information, all of that serves the body of Christ very well. And, again, thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, just a moment, Jed, just a moment. Anybody got a question, a statement?
Well, you know, Dr. Hunter, that I just love found on the Word of God. I love to hear it.
Amen. Amen.
Dr. Coleman, was it?
Judge Coleman.
Yeah, well, in the attorney circles, they call you doctor. It's all right.
Okay, well, when you went to the Lord's Prayer, you know, I follow and whatever, but I like the verses above because it gives us example. First of all, we got to know that Jesus Christ is speaking to you. And a lot of times in your studying, you got to know who's talking to you. And so when Jesus is talking, he explains it that, you know, some people, they want to do their alms or they want to be seen. You know, there's a lot of churches that you got to march around with $100 or $50. We're asking you for this here. Get in this line. Get in that line. You know.
Boy, no, she didn't.
Don't do this here. When you give me some gift giving, when you give me something, it's nobody's business but yours and ours. You don't have to get in a line to show people that you honor God with your substance. You don't have to get in a line. That's between you and God. And then he said, do not do vain repetitions. You know,
you don't
say the same thing over and over and over again. If we say that God knows our heart, and he just wants to have relationship with us. So he wants to discuss with us. He don't want us to repeat ourselves over and over. And now I know what I want to say, but the enemy, and I'm not giving him any place, but he's trying to take my voice from me right now. But the devil, how about it? He is alive. And so when we go to how we are supposed to pray, one thing is that he says, I want your kingdom to come.
Amen.
I want your will to be done. This tells you again that it's not about you. Rick Warren wrote a book, Purpose Driven Life. There's a chapter in there that says, it's not about you. When you understand that it's not about you and it's about living for the Lord, it's about forgiving, and then if you ask God not to lead you into temptation, then he'll do it. And, of course, the word says with every temptation, he'll give you a way to escape. We don't want to listen at the word except that says that you might have a lot of temptation, but I open up a door for you to get out of. So you don't have to fall if you don't want to fall, if you don't choose yourself.
Amen.
But he said, I'll be able to escape. So the enemy is coming at you like a roaring lion. But God say, I'm going to open the door. You can get out. You do not have to suffer with the things that you suffer with because my son has already suffered. And
amen.
Then because you say forgive. We don't want to forgive. We say, I forgive you, but I won't forget it. If you don't forget it, you haven't forgiven. If you don't forget it, you can forget it. Your prayers are not. They're not going anywhere. They're ricocheting off of
say
heaven.
It again. Emphasize. Tell them again. Tell them again.
Yeah.
Tell them again
that's
what
it.
Happens when you don't forgive.
Yeah. They ricochet.
You just said it. They ricochet.
They bouncing. They bouncing.
God's not here.
Help you, Lord.
God's not here. Now, God's not here. And if you, and if just to piggyback on what you, on what the sister's saying, without the forgiveness, you can't. He says, I ask for forgiveness as I forgive others. If we won't forgive others, we're not forgiven. So our prayers just ricocheting and bouncing off the ceiling. And you wonder why the church has no power? You wonder why other stuff isn't going on in the community? Why the church isn't a central focus as it used to be? Because we become more worldly. We're acting like the world. We're holding on to stuff just like the world. And God's not pleased with it. So when judgment starts, it's going to start with us because we're supposed to be the ones giving the examples for everybody else.
My God.
Remember that he planted on a hill with a light and he takes off the bushel to say, have you considered my servant, Dr. Hunter? Have you considered my servant? And you get a chance to look and see you in authenticity as you go through a situation, honoring God, praising God, knowing that. Like Job said, I don't know what he's doing, but something's happening. I'm better for it. He's purifying me. I'll be like pure gold. That's what he does to do for us. Forgive the passion, but that's what it's about. But as a body of believers, and by that I'm saying because though they're those who've accepted Christ, they haven't surrendered or so don't submit. If you just say it will be done on earth, obedience is done in heaven. It's obedience down here. So if you can't be obedient, then what are you doing? Because Christ said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we choose, I'm not going to forget. I'm not going to let you off that easy. I think you need to, whatever the circumstance is that you figure, I'm not going to forgive them. I'm not going to let them make it like that. That's nothing but Satan keeping you from being in that rightful relationship with Christ. Allow him to slip from being the son or the daughter he called you to being a, I do know what to call them. To walk in a way that you're below your privileges. You're still struggling because you got a foot in and a foot out. You're still hearing from both sides. And you're still doing business with both sides. So forgiveness is such a crux issue for us. Because in Matthew, I believe it was 18 and you got 33, 435, he says if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Now, he said that. That's Christ saying that. This is the Christ whose job it was, assignment it was, to come and redeem man back to God, to take away your sin. He's saying, if you don't do it this way, my death is wasted on you. My saving you or providing the opportunity for you is not being appreciated. Well, help me out, somebody. Look. That we know what he did was awesome. We know he came to defeat the works and all of that. You know he came to provide redemption. And here we are thousands of years after that, and we act like it ain't nothing because we don't want to let somebody go. We want them to suffer. We don't trust God to vindicate us or validate us or the things that the Bible talks about, since he says judgment is mine, we say, no, I'm going to handle this myself. And that's one of those things that keeps us out of a righteous or right standing relationship with our Savior and our Lord. So
Amen.
You might have said that, but if you're not doing it, if you're not doing it his way, then if you still can't pray and get a prayer through, that means God ain't listening. And we might be doing
Amen.
Something wherein he's not pleased with. And forgiveness
Amen.
Or unforgiveness is certainly one of those things that we suffer from as a church, but also as a, what did I say, as black folks, as Negroes, as African Americans. We won't forgive either. And that might be have some that might be the basis of some of the things that we need to continue to pray about and get God to move on, because we got some issues. We won't, you know, we have bad relationships. Not that others don't, but we know what we do. We know what we do. And we know what we do is wrong.
We know what is
we know we do is wrong. Dr. King
Amen.
Said that.
Amen.
Amen. Here I go again. When you bring up African American, I go back to Matthew, the sixth chapter, because they say that where you lay your treasures is where your heart is. And so African Americans have a tendency that their treasures cut them off, because they want the shiny car, the big house, the fancy clothes. So those are the things that they're in love with, a lot of the African-Americans. So their focus is off. When their focus should be on Christ Jesus, it's on things. Things are not going to get you in heaven. Things are not going to get you just the opposite, away from heaven. Things will take your view off of what it should be. It will keep you going down the wrong path. And something was on my mind. It just went. But let me share something with you that the Lord gave me out of John, the 21st chapter. And we've heard it said many times. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, love you me more than these? He said to him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lamb. He said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, love you me? He said to him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, love you me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, love you me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. The Lord knows all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And so I did a little study on that. And a lamb, we know, of course, is it says an ewe, E-W-E. It says he's a baby sheep. And then he says to him, feed my sheep. And then he says again, feed my sheep. And I interpreted that to mean, first of all, the little baby, you need to train them up so that they would know who Christ Jesus is. And the second time he said it, he was talking to the teenagers. Look, you need to not overlook the teenagers or the young children, those that have comprehension. He said, don't leave them out. Don't leave them out of the training and the teaching. And then the third time is us adults. We need to learn and know that God is love, that Jesus Christ is love, that he pays the penalty. So Jesus Christ is telling Peter, look, don't leave nobody out. Everybody is my child. Everybody. I wish that none should perish. So Peter, get busy. Peter, do the work that I have called you to do. Evangelize. Go. teeth. Live. He had a sample that Jesus wants you to do. And he said to him, you know, you were young. You go for stuff and you walk which you would not. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands and another shall gird you and carry you where you would not. So if you don't train them up the way you should, they won't take care of you when you get old. There are so many people that put their parents in a nursing home. There are so many people that put their parents in assisted living because they haven't been trained up that they need to take care of the old. And if you're young and you learn that you need to take care of the old, when you are old, the young will take care of you. It's a recycle.
Amen.
But if you're not trained up in the way in which they should go, they're going to falter. They're going to fail. Who's to say that they won't come to Christ Jesus later on? No one. No one can answer that question. Not us. Not Blanche. Only God knows. Like we said earlier, God knows the heart. And he knows what you should do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not our own righteousness. And judge, I'm not picking on you, but you sit in a high position. You sit in a high position. You reign and rule, and you make judgment. And if you can have the Lord, you will make unsound judgment. You will judge in your own self. And many times, because of what people have done, you want to slam the book at them. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about judges in general. They want to slam the book. Or they say, I want to teach somebody a lesson. Those are the judges that do not have Christ Jesus. They walk in their own footsteps. They don't take the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I commend you, Judge, that you're on this line today, and you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're not ashamed of being known that you are a judge and that you are a believer also. So I commend you once again, because I know that if I stood before you, that I would not be persecuted. If I stood before you, I know that it'll be a balanced weight. I know that. And if I am wrong, if I am guilty, then one or two things can happen. I should be punished for what I did, or grace and mercy is going to show up and say, I know they did, but I stand in the gap for them. I'm the mediator. You know, I don't need an attorney. I am Christ Jesus. So I can plead your case for this. And so, again, I thank you, Judge. I thank you just to listen to you. Declare the word of God.
One of the easiest things to remember is what it cost you to believe. One of the easiest things to remember is what you were doing, wherein he turned you around. We say, put your feet on solid ground. Yeah, all that's fine. But whatever it's like David said, restore to me the joy of the salvation, clean me up, all that.
Amen.
So I remember what it cost. What I think someone, please help me out on this. Jesus was talking to someone, and there was a comparison. And the gist of the comparison he made was, the one who's been forgiven much is the one who loves much.
That's it.
Right?
That's
the basis for it. The basis for it is because they know what he brought them out of, what he delivered them from, what he took them through, what it cost, to turn them around. So yeah, I have a deep appreciation for Christ hanging on that cross for me, because I was knucklehead, so I can't take any glory in it. Anything you hear, that's Christ Jesus. That's what he's done. That's what the Trinity has brought about. It's not me.
All right.
I can't take no claim for it. But what I will say is that the distance that he allowed me to go, like Paul, the distance he allowed Paul to go before he turned them around he's able to use all those experiences in the process mm-hmm. of disseminating the gospel and sharing it in a meaningful way so that folks who mm-hmm. come to Christ, yes, but two, those who've accepted Christ can get some understanding as to what this journey is about. It's wonderful mm-hmm. to know that the name is written in the Lamb's book. But if all he wanted you to do was have, put a check in the box saying you're heaven bound, he'll take you as soon as you join up. It's more to it than that. And that is Amen. What my passion is, to get and speak and share with others to say, let's get busy with his program. Christ said, I don't do nothing that my father doesn't make me do or say. He said, Amen. I only do what he allows me to do. I only do what he tells me to say. That means he's cooperating with God's plan. Let's cooperate with God's plan. Let's participate willingly with it. Obedience brought blessings in the Old Testament, in the Torah, with the Israelites. Obedience brings blessings today.
Yeah. Amen.
We had the conversation about African Americans being fascinated with the trinkets, and perhaps our focus is wrong. In the natural, we know why we're that way. We know the things that were done and the media and the consumption and the things that allow you to do it. We know why. Because even in a circumstance where a few people experience a major catastrophe in Louisiana, but yet when the opportunity presented itself to say, hey, here's a car that allows you to get the basic necessities, we were categorized on television by saying, hey, you got big flat screens with no house.
Ooh.
Nowhere to plug it up to. That's what they showed on the media. So, again, yes, there's some purposeful things being placed out there to categorize us a certain way. But it's not a secret anymore. There is a formula. There is some information that spells God's truth. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. And by the way, he'll give you that other stuff. Because he won't let the stuff be more important than him. And that's when you said, our focus is wrong. Absolutely. Because if we believe as a son or a daughter of a king, you own what he owns. You mm-hmm. have what he had.
Amen.
That's what he told the son who didn't go somewhere, who stayed there working on the farm. You didn't give me a cow on a celebration. You said, you've been here. It's yours. What I got is yours already. So if we remember who we are in Christ, then we don't have to focus on that other stuff. You can just ask. And in his time, and he'll allow you to have it so that you can say, I didn't have to slave for it. I didn't have to toil for it. It was a gift from God above.
Amen.
Faith come by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And I have sat and I listened as you guys has spoken on tonight. And I'm not saying that you said anything wrong, but one thing that we have to remember, the seeds that has been sown and has been planted. And African Americans' lives, not just African Americans, but that's who you're talking about tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, what we have to do is believers of Christ, is that he told us that some land we had to subdue the land. Some land you got to till the land. Some land is not easily purposed for planting. You got to work that ground before you can even plant a seed into that ground. And that's what we got to do. We got to do this thing in the spirit realm. If we can recognize the seed that's been planted and characterized as our people, then these are the things that we need to start pulling down. These are strongholds. These are dark and wicked places, principalities that has been purposed and placed over our people's
Amen.
Lives.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And that's right. And we're Amen. And we're the ones to bring them out. Remember in Ephesians 4:11, I gave some apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors for what? For the effecting of the saints until they all come into the faith of Christ. That's right. Amen. Yes. So we gotta preach the word in season, out of season. Reproving just means that we got to teach over and over and over again. Yes, we can look at a whole lot of churches and we can talk about how they have errors. But that's what the word says. We err because we don't know the word and we don't know his power. So the word has already told us that. But if one, it only took one to bring things back into alignment. And that's why he sent his son. Yes, we know Adam messed up, but he sent his son. Let me show you, this can be done in a fleshly matter. But we got to take heed. We got to learn of him. We got to apply ourselves. We don't fall into, well, this church is doing this wrong and this church is doing that wrong. These are things that we got to start praying about, because the biggest thing that's going on in the body of Christ is there's no unity. And that's what the enemy likes. A house divided will not stand. And that's what's going on right now. All these different denominations, there's only one God and there's only one people.
But if you don't have this spirit, we can't unify.
Amen.
Because the spirit is the one, God is the one that is. If he's love, then he's also unity. So if you Amen. Don't love him in a manner where you follow the precepts, the commandments, the things that he says to do, then even the churches that you speak of, which are composed of others who indicate they have believed, if they're not following after God, then you're right. All these different things keep surfacing that keep us from being in unity. It's the disease is dis-ease. So we have this particular dis-ease in the church.
Amen. But remember what the word says. The word says the wheat and the tares, it grows together.
Amen.
The wheat and the tares grows together, and God is the one that's going to do the separation. And he also says that if a hen gather her chicks together, will he not do the same thing? I think we get our focus turned off more onto people than what God said. We got to stick to what God said. That's what Jesus did. It was so many different. It's so many different things in here that could Jesus focused on man and what man was doing, but he brought the light right back to his Father.
Amen. Yes.
Hello.
And I'm sorry, I got muted. But that's what we have to do. We have to turn the light back on to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Put the focus back on to Jesus. Yes, it's a whole lot of things that we can go on and say, and it could be a multitude of complaints. But what happened when they start murmuring and complaining?
Mm-hmm.
He wiped them out. Mm-hmm. He wiped them out. That's what God did. He wiped them out. We got to learn how to pray. Pray without ceasing. What concerns us concerns God. And these things are things that we're concerned about, then guess who can change it? Guess who can fix it? God
Absolutely.
Can. Amen. We gotta humble ourselves before his hand. We wanna see change come about. He already showed us that he did it. That's why he sent his son. And when he sent his son, They changed. One thing God gave me, they rebelled in the beginning, and they're going to rebel into the end. But
we got to persuade
one. If we don't get number one to come in,
we got
to keep on. That's right.
Amen.
We got to keep on persuading until somebody, he said, forbid one soul be lost. We already know there's false teachers, false prophets out here. We know these things. So what are we to do? We're to get the truth. Allow Jesus Christ to come in and teach us the truth, and we be that light. Apostle Paul said it best, follow after me as I follow after Christ. You don't know why God sent you.
Amen.
You don't know why God sent you into a house that the young lady said earlier, that got $100 line, $500 line, $1,000 line. Maybe it's part of your assignment.
Amen.
Part of your assignment to bring correction. Because a lot of times people do error because they don't know. We perish because of a lack of knowledge.
But they know.
I'm not making any excuses for anybody. I was just using that for an example.
May I ask you to consider something?
Yes,
sir.
We were just told that it might be part of your assignment to be there and bring about change. One thing that is God, if you can identify a problem, you can identify error, that's where you intercede in prayer. That's when you go to the Father concerning that. If he shows it to you, it's for a purpose.
That's
for
right.
you to intercede for him to bring about the change.
Yes.
So, when you can identify, that's not Bible. That's not error. And if I may give an example, from time to time we go to churches where the pastors are accustomed to lack of a better word, some of the old timey stuff. Now, this is what I'm saying. Tradition is fine. When you start those circumstances where your pastor says a certain thing and everybody says amen, and you get into that groove of devotion or whatever it is, I'd ask you to consider something. When it's praying, and that's what you do, and everyone listens to it, and they know where you are, what it's about, then that's not bringing God glory.
Amen.
Because at that point, everybody's identifying with it, appreciating it, entertained with it, all of that. That's man's glory. Now,
Amen. If
that's what you've always done, and that's how you do it, and that's what you continue to do, it's like we were discussing. It may be error because you don't know differently. Because when you start doing it and the people start appreciating the prayer in that sense, just because they've heard that particular vernacular or that particular hoop or whatever it is, God's not getting glory out of that.
That's
right. It's sharing glory amongst themselves. But if that's all they know,
Amen. Let's see this lady who had much to say on the program tonight. Sister Aroya, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Praise the Lord. I've just been listening. I've enjoyed the judge and this young lady. It has been terrific. I've just been enjoying it. However, I do thoroughly agree with the judge and her, whoever it was that brought up the going around and not when it's offering time. That's all for show, but like he said, it's old tradition. Judge, if you even when it's time to pray or even whisper it in the pastor's ear on the way out, you will be forbidden to ever come back.
I understand. So that's why we pray and wait for God's leading. because in his leading, then in our obedience, he is responsible for the outcome of his what he's asking us to do. When we're obedient to him, he's responsible for the outcome, not us.
That's right.
If something like that happens or whatever, then he's responsible for it all. But when we do it out because of ourselves, saying, hey, he needs to happen, you're right, we might be doing it before God's timing. So my belief, I believe the scriptures would say, you pray and you wait for him to lead you, give you the opportunity, open the door, whatever, and then he's responsible for the outcome. Now, I've been some places, and when that type of praying is going on, I'm accustomed to it. I know about it. But what I know that the atmosphere changes because it changes from God to man. And I said, I go to God. I said, God, will you talk to him? And then I've been back to that same church, and when the prayers go up, it didn't go that particular way. And all I can say is, God, thank you for listening. Because if a pastor is praying for the people in his church, I certainly want God to listen to the prayer. I want him to listen to the priest interceding on behalf of the folks. I want that. But if it's man glorification rather than God honoring, we know he's going to reject it. Because as he says, all you get out of that is whatever you get when you say it. And that's what, and if that's what we have in our churches, then please let's pray to God to intercede and provide some information or an opportunity for us to share so that the priest who's going to God on behalf of the people will be able to, God will hear the prayer.
Amen, amen. Well, Judge, you close up prayer, please. I know you
I'd love to. Father God, in the 16th chapter, I believe 17th chapter of John, our Savior said, Holy Father. So Holy Father, hear our prayer. We don't get it right. We still stick-neft. We're still stubborn. And although we've put on the blood-stained banner, we're still in need of change. So you know it, and we're acknowledging it. We know it, too. So please change us. If we don't read every word the Bible as regular as we should, Father, give us a reason to search out the Scripture so our minds can be renewed. If we don't show love in the manner that we should, give us the opportunities so, Father, those that we encounter, we can at least say the good mornings or ask how they're doing or can we pray for them. And then you get an opportunity to work through us to talk about spiritual things. If we're not forgiving, Father, please take an opportunity and get through our hard skull and remind us of the things that you're trying to change in our lives. Father, if we're not doing exactly what you desire us to do, you're creating us a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in us. Allow us to come before you and just say, forgive us. Knowing that when you do it, you're going to change us after you forgive us, and you're going to take away those things in our lives that you no longer desire to be there. Because your word said, you'll forgive, and then you bring about the change so that we don't desire to do whatever it is that's keeping us out of your will. Father, we stand in agreement with your word. We stand in agreement with your spirit. And Father, we stand before you humbly, your righteous throne, asking you to intercede for your behalf of your believers. We know our Savior is there at your right hand interceding. Father, we are in agreement. Use us to bring light. Use us to bring wisdom. Use us to share word. Use us to share the gospel. Use us to share testimony. Use us to glorify you. And Father, not just once, but Father, what, since we're standing on your word and you say one can do ten and
too can do a little bit more than that. Father, allow us to stand on behalf of all. Forgive us, fix us, change us, and turn us around and allow us to share about a risen Savior. We ask this in his name because he said when we ask in his name, you'll hear us. And we have confidence that if you hear us, that you'll do what we ask you to do since you're the one making the request of us anyway. We ask it in Jesus, the Christ, in his name, who we declare to be our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Folks, I love you. I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. God bless you till the next time.
Amen.